Hoo-wee. I'm sweaty and I'm out of breath. How are you guys doing tonight? You doing good? Hey, do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look good tonight. Now turn to your other neighbor. For whatever reason, you ignored them. That's okay. You don't need to tell them why, but tell them that they look great tonight. You look great tonight. Absolutely amazing. You all look just beautiful. You look just dashing. Hey, friends. Well, like I said earlier, my name is Matt Velasco. I have the pleasure of hanging out with all of you every single Wednesday night at 8 o'clock at this little thing that we call HSM. And if you're new here, I would love to meet you. We have a thing that we say around here. We say that this is home. We say this is home because we believe that this is the place of safety. This is the place of transparency. This is the place where you can come and it doesn't matter what you've done, who you are, we are going to love you no matter what. So this is home. And I'm so glad that you are here. If you're new, please come introduce yourself to me. If you've been coming for a long time and we've never met, please come introduce yourself to me. We are starting a new series that's going to carry us up to Christmas. It's a 2-week series called Sorry Not Sorry. Say that after me. Sorry Not Sorry. Okay, one more time, a little bit louder. Sorry Not Sorry. Okay, now like act like you actually are like excited to be here. Sorry Not Sorry. That's great. That's real great. This series is all about forgiveness. So this week we are talking about what does it mean for you to forgive someone. This week we're talking about what does it mean for us to forgive other people. As a Christ follower, as someone who has given their life over to Jesus, what does it mean for you to forgive someone? Next week we're going to talk about what does it mean for you to be forgiven. What does it mean for you to be forgiven? Not forgiven by your neighbor, but rather forgiven by God. So these two messages go in tandem with each other. If you want tonight to make all of the sense that it possibly can, you got to come back next week and hear next week's message. If you want next week's message to make sense, well, you're already here, so it doesn't matter, but you need to listen to this message all about forgiveness. So open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're not going to get to it for a little bit because tonight's message is going to be a little bit different. Tonight's message, I'm going to tag on the scripture at the end. Now, if you're like me, that normally is like, wait, hold, excuse me, what? You're waiting to read the Bible? Isn't that like what we're here for? But what I want you guys to hear tonight is I want you guys to understand that oftentimes what the Bible tells us is actually backed up by the things that the world tells us. What I mean by that is a lot of times when the Bible tells us not to do something, we can actually find non-biblical reasons to not do that thing. So for instance, the Bible tells you that you should not be having sex unless you're married. Gasp, he went there. The reason why it says that is because there is actual science that backs up that claim. So it is better for you on a mental level to not have sex until you're married. That's not what we're talking about tonight, don't worry. But tonight, it's similar to that. We're talking about forgiveness and the science, psychology. I was so, over the past like 2 weeks, how many of you are so sad that we didn't have HSM last week? I felt so empty, I know. Thank you, guys. That makes me feel good about myself. For the past 2 weeks, I have been studying the science of forgiveness. The science, the psychology of forgiveness. Because for whatever reason, I just felt like it wasn't as simple as the Bible says so. I just felt like there was something that had to be more that led to the significance of forgiving someone. Because friends, the reality is that when we look at the psychological effects of forgiveness, we actually see the importance of doing so. Psychology is the study of the mind. Fun fact, you learned something new today if you didn't know. Psychology, the study of the mind. And they have this publication, they have a magazine, it's called Psychology Today. And it says this about forgiveness. And I need you guys to buckle in because there's a lot of words, but it's all really, really good. It says this about forgiveness. Let's start with what forgiveness is not. Let's start with what forgiveness is not. Much of the self-help world has suggested that forgiveness does not mean you become best friends with the person who wronged you. Forgiveness is not saying what happened was okay. Forgiveness is not saying you accept the person who wronged you. Instead, forgiveness is choosing to accept what happened as it happened rather than what could or should have happened. Forgiveness can mean that you let go. Forgiveness can mean you love from a distance. Forgiveness can mean you step into your present rather than anchoring in the past. Psychologically, when people reported higher levels of forgiveness, they also tended to report better health habits and decreased depression, anxiety, and anger levels, even in betrayed couples. So even in couples where one of them cheated, greater levels of forgiveness were associated with more satisfied relationships, a stronger parenting alliance, and children's perceptions of parenting functioning. Physiologically, higher reported levels of forgiveness were associated with lower white blood cell count and hematocritic levels. White blood cells are an integral part of fighting off diseases and infections. Together, these results highlight the importance of forgiveness, not for the other person, but for you. And that's what I want to sit on for the rest of the night. Because so often I feel like when we think of forgiveness, we think of it as something that's for the other person. When you think of forgiveness, it's, you know what? Even though they cheated on me, even though they lied to me, even though they abused me, even though they hurt me, even though they spread a rumor about me that ruined my high school career, even though she cheated on me after 2 years of dating, even though he left me after having just told me he loved me, even though he did something, we oftentimes think that when we forgive, we say, it's okay, I'm over it. We think, you know, forgiveness is all about forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. When you forgive, it means you have to forget what happened. But friends, I want to tell you that it is not forgive and forget. That is wrong. It's forgive and move on. Because the reality is that if you have been cheated on, if you have been abused, if you have been neglected, if your mother has done something that warrants your forgiveness, if your father has done something that warrants your forgiveness, if your best friend has left you, if your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your significant other, your whatever it is, if they have done something, it does not mean you look at them and say, I'm over it, it's okay. See, so often we think that forgiveness is just letting them keep doing what they do. It's all about them. But the reality is that forgiveness is not about them, it's about you. See, science actually tells us that your anxiety, your depression, your pain, your whatever it might be, could actually be healed by forgiveness. Now what I don't want you guys to hear me say is that if you're in this room and you struggle with anxiety or depression, and you're on medicine, and it's something you've been diagnosed with, I am not saying that the reason why you have it is because there's someone in your life that you may not know exists, and you need to forgive them. That is not at all what I am saying. But what I am saying is that if you are in this place tonight, and ever since he cheated on you, you just can't trust anyone. Or ever since she lied to your best friend about you, and now they all hate you, and now you can't feel an intimate relationship, or now it just feels like you've lost all of your friends and you feel lonely and you just feel like you're existing by yourself. You see, the key to unlocking the healing to your loneliness, the key to unlocking the healing to your trust could be forgiving the person who hurt you. It could be forgiving the one who is least deserving of your forgiveness. But again, it is not about them. It's about you. You see, I don't know if you guys knew this, but we all have a throne in our life. We all have a throne in our heart. Now, what that means, to make it more understandable, is let's rewind back to medieval times, back when there were kings and queens. If you're like me, I've always thought it would be really cool to have a king or a queen, except I've been told that it would not be fun. But fun fact, I would have like been killed after birth because of my one ear. So I'm glad I don't live in the medieval times. Skid it. Jiggly. You're welcome. So if we rewind back to the times when there were kings and queens, there was a little thing called the throne. The throne was the place where all of the governance, all of the rule, all of the reign, all of the power, all of the everything was determined by whoever sat on the throne. So you listened to who was on the throne of your kingdom. When King David was the king of Israel, all of Israel listened to what David had to say. They would do what David did. They would listen to what David said. They would obey what David told them to do. Because David was on the throne, they listened to it. Friends, you have a throne of your heart. You have a throne of your heart. And what that means is that whatever is sitting on the throne of your heart, that is what you're going to listen to. Whoever is sitting on the throne of your heart, that's who's going to dictate the way that you live your life. Whoever's sitting on the throne of your heart is going to determine your mood when you wake up in the morning and your mood when you go to bed at night. Whoever is sitting at the throne of your heart is what you are paying the most attention to. Your life is determined by whoever's sitting on the throne of your heart. And when you are refusing to forgive someone, when you say, I'm just not going to forgive you for what you've done, you're allowing them to have power over you. You're allowing them to sit on the throne of your heart. And see, when I say that forgiveness is not about them, it's about you, what you are doing is you are literally removing them from the place of power in your life and saying, I am putting Jesus back where he belongs. You see, not only is there a very real physical reality behind forgiveness, not only is it very real, very true, very important that you can actually receive some sort of healing that is physical, tangible, and important and needed. Not only can you receive that when you forgive and it's physical, but there's also deep spiritual importance behind forgiveness. So, like I said, you can turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. I have it on the screen if you don't have a Bible. Also, side note, if you don't own a Bible at all, we'll give you a Bible for free. All you have to do is go out to the info spot. You'll see a stack of Bibles. Just take one. That is yours. Bring it every Wednesday. It's really important that we're reading the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. This is another one of Paul's letters because you guys know I'm on a Paul kick right now. That's right. That's right. Okay. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So get rid of all things that might cause you to need to forgive someone. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we read that and we think, okay, why is the Apostle Paul telling us to forgive? Why is it important for us to forgive? And you might not like this, but the answer is very simple. Just as in Christ God forgave you. Why do we forgive? Because you've been forgiven. Why do we forgive? Why do we as followers of Jesus forgive people? Because you've been forgiven. Why do we give? Because even though you are undeserving of forgiveness, you still received it. So this message is for those of us in this room that consider ourselves followers of Jesus. Because in order to be a follower of Jesus, you have to receive an eternal forgiveness which removes you from the clutch of darkness. It removes you from the power of sin and places you into the power of life, the power of forgiveness, the power of love. And if you've been around this church thing for a while, then you've probably heard someone say something along the lines of, you don't deserve the forgiveness you've been given. At the end of this message, we're gonna sing a song, and one of the lyrics is, I didn't earn it, I don't deserve it. And I want you guys to really think about that when we sing those words, because you don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. you didn't wake up, have a really good hockey game, get a hat trick, maybe a penalty or two, because when I played hockey, that was considered a good thing. You don't do that and then go to bed and be like, yes, I'm finally deserving. Or you don't get an A on your test and think, finally Jesus will love me. Or you don't finally, not fight with your mom for 10 minutes, right? You're in the same room with her for 10 minutes, and this miracle moment, high school dudes, you know what I'm talking about. This miracle moment, and you guys don't get into a fight. You don't walk out of that and think, finally, I am forgiven. I'm worthy. That's not how it works, because the reality is, friends, you are not deserving of forgiveness. Yes, this is sad. It's not fun to hear. I'm not worthy either. None of us are. And yet Christ Jesus, who we believe as Christians is actually God, came down and died so that we could know him. So even though you can't be in the same room as your mother for more than 10 minutes without fighting with her, even though you struggle with addiction, even though you cannot kick whatever habit it is that is not what Christ wants you to do, even though you've lied your way through most of life, even though you've stolen plenty, even though you've done all of these things, all of which I've done tenfold, even though Christ still forgives you. And when we realize this, we are able to then forgive others because we don't deserve it. And you know what? They don't either. Girl, I want to tell you right now, the dude who cheated on you, he is not deserving of your forgiveness. Homie, the dude that straight swept in and stole your girl, he's not worthy of forgiveness. The friend who stole your test, cheated, and then didn't get caught, but you did get caught, and you got an F, but they got an A because you're the smart one, they are not deserving of your forgiveness. But you know what? None of us are. Why do we forgive even though they're not deserving of forgiveness? Because just as in Christ, God forgave you. And you see, friends, I think we are better off when we forgive. I think not only by forgiving do we remove other people from the throne of our heart and place Christ back in it. And not only is it important that we forgive people because Christ forgave us. P.S., can we just short rabbit trail? It's pretty cool, right, that a person who doesn't love Jesus can forgive and still receive the same benefits of forgiveness physically. But we're in an opportunity where we, as Christ followers, we don't just get the physical benefits, we get the spiritual benefits. You see, God is so good that he actually allows people that don't know him to experience the goodness of forgiveness. But we as Christ followers get to receive more than just that, because when we forgive, there is a spiritual event that happens. We begin to become more like Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we talked about sanctification. And you may have asked, Matt, how do I start becoming more sanctified? Start forgiving more. Because the reality is that forgiveness comes out of a place of love. We're able to forgive because Christ forgave us. And when Christ forgave us, he gave us his love. And when he gives us his love, he allows us to give other people that same love. So when we decide to give other people the love that we are not deserving, which is Christ's love to them, something supernatural is happening. And I don't know about you, but I think the world needs just a little bit more love. I don't know about you, but I think that the world, including the church, is lacking a whole lot of love. See, I don't know about you, but I would bet if I were to walk into your halls tomorrow, whether it's Chanhassen High School, Minnetonka High School, Chaska High School, Waconia High School, Eden Prairie, Edina, Glencoe, whatever it is, whatever high school you go to, Southwest, whatever high school you are a member of, If I went into your halls and I asked, what are Christians known for? Do you think they're going to tell me love? Do you think they're going to say, man, the way that they love me no matter what I do? No. If I walk into the local Cub Foods, if I walk into a local tobacco shop, if I walk into a local liquor store, if I walk into a local gym or a local record store or whatever, do you guys, record stores still exist? Fun fact. If I walk into a local anything, the streets of Minneapolis, and I say, hey, you, what are Christians known for? Do you think they're going to tell me love? No. And yet, when we go to John chapter 13, verse 35, we see this. Or starting verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment I give you, forgive one another as I have forgiven you. So you must forgive one another. So you must love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. How should the world know that we are Christians? By the way you love the world. I was listening to a message last night by a pastor named Carl Lentz. He pastors the church in New York. I suggest listening to him. He's pretty baller. The message is called This Is Us. It's really great. It's on YouTube. He wears a cool leather jacket that I want. I almost bought one after watching it. Then it was like $800, and I was like, no. Anyways, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Friends, if we walk into the streets tomorrow and I say, hey, who is a Christian? They're going to say, well, they're a pro-life Republican. Who's a Christian? Well, they're probably pretty rich. They probably live in a big house. They follow rules. They say a lot of these, thous, that's, thines. Well, sir, do you think Christians are loving? Oh, no. No, I met a Christian once, and he told me that because I had tattoos, I wasn't following Jesus. I met a Christian once, and I told him a little bit of my story about how I struggled with addiction, and he kind of looked at me with this face and didn't really talk to me after that. Or I met this Christian once, and man, she seemed to be really nice, but she wouldn't stop telling me that the language I used wasn't the right language. Or I have a family member who's a Christian, but she stopped coming around because she said that we were all temptations. That whenever she spent time with us, she wasn't reminded of Christ. I've known a couple of Christians in my life, but as soon as they met Jesus, they just kind of disappeared and they started just judging me all the time. So the reality is that the world that we live in, when you say, what is a Christian known for? Is it love? No. And if it's love, it's not forgiveness. You see, the reason why we're talking about forgiveness is because high school ministry, when I walk into your schools and I ask random people, hey, what do you think about Christians? They should be able to look me in the eye and they should be able to say, you know what I love about Christians? No matter what I've done, no matter my background, no matter what my family looks like, no matter who I'm attracted to, no matter who I voted for, no matter the clothes I wear, no matter the language I use, no matter any of these things, they still love me. Doesn't mean you need to be best friends with them. It doesn't mean you need to say, hey, come hang out with all of us. Hey, come be more like me. It doesn't mean that. All it means is that like Jesus loved the people that the rest of society said not to love, like he loved them, you love the people that you think you probably shouldn't love because they're different than me. Or they swear every now and then. No, friends, when we read the Bible, the people Jesus hung out with are the people that were on the outskirts, the people that society said weren't worthy, the people that society said should be avoided, and Jesus didn't avoid them. He went headfirst into them. So why are we talking about forgiveness? We're talking about forgiveness because it's not about them, it's about you. We're talking about forgiveness because the reality of forgiveness is that when you are refusing to forgive someone, you are letting someone sit on the throne of your heart. We're talking about forgiveness. Band, you guys can come up. We're talking about forgiveness because there could be literal physical healing that can be unlocked when you forgive someone. We're talking about forgiveness because the spiritual importance of forgiveness is that we are giving people what they don't deserve, just like we have given what we don't deserve. Just like we have been given forgiveness. And part of being given forgiveness means that we've been given love. And when we choose to forgive people, we are choosing to love people. And why do we love people? We love people because Jesus himself says that the world will know that we follow Jesus not by what we look like, not by how we talk, not by what we where we gather, not because of whatever it might be, but because of the way we love. And you know what? This might mean loving people that you've been told your whole life to avoid. But you know what? Jesus wants us to do it. And Jesus will meet you when you love people. Jesus will meet you when you forgive people. And not only will Jesus meet you when you love, not only will Jesus meet you when you forgive, but Jesus also meets us when we worship. So we're going to sing one more song right after I pray here in a moment. And what I want you guys to do during this song is I want you guys to think about what does it mean for you not to earn or deserve forgiveness? What does it mean for you not to have done anything to become worthy of forgiveness? Because the reality is that our existence as humans means that the majority of what we do is not who Christ has called us to be. And when you unlock forgiveness in your life, you will unlock a new amount of love. People will begin to know you as one that loves people no matter what they do. High school ministry, my dream is that I can walk into the halls of these schools and I can say, what are Jesus followers known for? Not just what's high school ministry at Western Community Church known for, but what are Jesus followers known for? And they can look at me and they can say, man, you know, there was a time when I was suicidal. There was a time when I was open about who I'm attracted to. There was a time when I was just struggling with addiction and I realized that I drank a little bit too much. And, you know, I thought that my Christian friend was going to be like, oh. But instead, they looked at me. And instead, they cried with me. And instead, they hugged me. And instead, they sat down with me. And they helped me talk to my parents. And they helped me find help. And, you know, what I thought was going to happen didn't happen. Because those Christians that you just asked me about, man, they love me. How do they love me? How is it that they love me the way that they do? Well, it's because Jesus. So whether or not you know Jesus in this place tonight, know that there is a love that is available that will love you despite what you've done. There is a love that is reckless, not because God himself is reckless, but because it seems that it's a love that shouldn't happen. It's not deserved, it's not earned, and why would anyone love someone so undeserving? And yet God does. And so Jesus, we, tonight in this place, Lord, we give you everything. Lord, we just pray for the strength to forgive because we know that part of the hardest things of following you,
one of the hardest things that you ask us to do is to forgive the one who abused me, to forgive the one who lied to me, to forgive the one who cheated on me. Lord, to forgive the one who is the least deserving of forgiveness. Lord, you ask me to do it, and I do it in faith, even right now in my heart. I do it not because it's for them, Lord, but because I want you to sit and rule and reign on the throne of my heart. And Lord, would this forgiveness unlock the love that you have to share through me in my life? And Lord, would this love lead to our schools and the world being changed? Would this love change the way I live my life? Would this love change the way I forgive? Lord, meet us in this moment. We love you. We need you. Lord, we give this worship to you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.